This is Live on Purpose Radio, episode 594. Why do therapists hate life coaches? Now is the only time to create and live the life you love. I'm Dr. Paul Jenkins, the positivity psychologist. My job is to connect you to powerful positive psychology principles that immediately upgrade your relationships, business, and mental health. Are you ready? Let's jump in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Live on Purpose Radio. This is Dr. Paul, the shrink who expands your life, with another episode of Live on Purpose Radio. And some of the people in this world who expand others' lives are therapists and life coaches. And why is there this conflict between them? You know, this particular title, hate is a really strong word, right? For the title, why do therapists hate life coaches? I think for the most part, they don't. My overwhelming experience is that therapists are kind, loving people who don't hate anyone. But this question came up as I was doing some research for my YouTube channel, and it's a title that is searched hundreds of times every month. And that caught my attention. Why are people searching this? And I think it has something to do with a conflict that has come up between therapists and life coaches. I'm going to give you my take on this because I've been both. All right. I am a licensed clinical psychologist. I practiced traditional psychotherapy for 15 years, the first half of my career. For the last 15 years, I have been practicing exclusively coaching, personal professional development coaching from a positive psychology standpoint. And I certify and train positivity practitioners. Some of those are therapists. Some of those are coaches. I love them both. And I think I have an insight into why this conflict happens. So let's take a look at, first of all, the history of therapy. Therapy came into being from the psychological researchers, early theorists, scientists, and I'm not going to get into all the history here. I'd probably get it wrong anyway. But there was an attempt to understand how people think, what their experience is, how they operate their relationships, their emotional life. And at some point, to validate that, it got tied to the traditional medical model. Now, does it fit well there? I don't know. Probably in some ways, and in other ways not. You know, I just returned from a retreat where one of the themes was every model is broken. And some of them are useful. And I think that's true in the medical model, in the traditional psychotherapy model, and in the coaching model. All of these models are broken, and some of them are useful. So as we keep an open mind to look at where this came from, our industry, psychology, went through a similar challenge that also faced some of the other kind of peripheral or ancillary services that came up in the medical industry as a whole. And that is that when insurance companies started to compensate physicians, doctors, medical providers, psychology wanted to get a piece of that. I think this is true also of physical therapy and chiropractic and some of these other fields that are not quite in the core of medicine, but they're there on the periphery, if that will make sense to you. And because they wanted to get a piece of the insurance dollars, insurance companies only pay for pathology. The question is, what's wrong with you? And what's the appropriate treatment for that? And that's what they'll pay for. So you have to render a diagnosis. When I left traditional psychotherapy, I stopped giving my clients diagnoses. I no longer practice therapy because in that model, it's based on those presumptions. And I think some of that is secondary to the insurance industry and just how these helping professionals were going to actually feed their own families and get paid. So I have no judgment about that. I'm just acknowledging that that's kind of where it came from. So with that in mind, therapists, I think, see life coaches occasionally as inadequate, or, and this might not be fully fair. Of course, nothing that I say is true of every therapist or every coach, but I'm trying to catch some of the main themes that come up. Therapists go through a lot of training. At the very least, they have to have a master's degree, if not a doctoral degree, and then they need to become licensed to practice in their state or jurisdiction. That's a lot of work. They have to jump through a lot of hoops. They get trained in ethics and appropriate care and standards of what's acceptable to treat mental illness or mental health issues. So here come life coaches who don't have to go through any of that. In fact, there are very few barriers to entry to becoming a coach. Coaches cannot practice therapy, but sometimes coaching looks very similar to therapy. There are similar kinds of activities or conversations that happen. Therapy is a licensed activity. And so anyone who is not licensed to do that is basically breaking the law if they practice without a license. So I think sometimes there's a perception by therapists that coaches are skirting the law, so to speak, or they see them as unfair competition in an area that they are uniquely trained and prepared to practice in. That may be one of the areas of conflict that we see there. Another thing that I've noticed is that coaches are not subject to the same regulations that therapists are. And that might create a little bit of jealousy. And in fact, I think jealousy might be a more apt description of how a lot of the therapists that I know might feel as they look at the life coaches. I think there's a little disdain sometimes that they are untrained, but I think there's some jealousy also that these people can step up and do similar activities without all of the restrictions and the regulations that are slapped onto the therapeutic industry. Another area of that jealousy might be on the compensation end. Let me share a little bit of my own history with you so that you can fully appreciate this. When I was considering making the change over to positive psychology and coaching rather than traditional therapy, I was busy. I was fully engaged in my psychotherapy practice. I was so busy that I had a waiting list and I was booked out solid for 5 months. You couldn't even get an appointment with me unless I got a cancellation. And I had negative cash flow for 2 quarters in a row. I don't know what kind of math you do, but to me, that doesn't seem sustainable. And I know a lot of therapists who are just barely getting by. They struggle a bit to feed their families, and it feels unjust. I can tell you as a therapist myself, I was feeling that I was doing very good work. I was having an impact. I was making a difference. I was even saving lives. And the compensation for that, between all of the restrictions that the insurance companies placed and the huge overhead that I faced to have staff who could handle authorization paperwork and work with the insurance companies and an office where I could see my clients. All of those things created a scenario where I had negative cash flow. So when you think about it, I was actually paying for the opportunity to serve people. And I look at the coaching industry, and I personally know coaches who have multi-million dollar practices where the monthly income exceeds what a lot of therapists can make in an entire year. And I think there's some jealousy there. There's a lot more money available, and that's because we're bypassing third-party payers, and we have private arrangements with clients who are very motivated to work with us. Another interesting jealousy might come up, and I'm speaking partially for myself, because when I was a therapist, I was looking at people who were doing this in a bigger, more impactful way and feeling a little jealous about that. I wanted to be that person who could have a profound, huge impact on those that I was working with. And I saw that happening in the coaching industry. Even after I made the change over to positive psychology, I would look around and see people who were doing this at a much more powerful, accelerated level, creating more value for more people. And going back to the time I had the negative cash flow, in my book, chapter one is called Lightning Strikes. That all culminated in a time for me when I actually went through a bankruptcy. It tanked me. And as I'm going through that struggle, I remember having a conversation with my financial advisor, and he said, "Paul, you need to create more value for more people." And I was a little offended at first. I'm like, "I'm doing good work." He said, Yeah, I know. But you're very limited in what you can do the way you've set up your business. Meanwhile, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, that's the way you're supposed to do it as a therapist. That's what's traditional. That's what's allowed by the regulations and the insurance companies. There's no other way to do this. And my eyes had not yet been opened to the possibility that I could have a bigger impact. And then fast forward several years, this is just a few years ago, when I hired Jody Moore as my coach. As my coach, okay, Jody did not have a PhD like I did. Jody hadn't written a book like I had at that point. Now she's got a book out. It's wonderful. It's called Better Than Happy. And I looked at Jody, who described herself as a Mormon mom with a laptop, and she was killing it in her coaching business. Not only was she making more money than me, she was having a bigger impact. She was reaching more people. She was changing more lives. I wanted to know how to do that. So I hired her. And I believe that coaches need coaches. I think therapists need therapists, because we need to have someone who can turn on the lights for us and open up possibilities that we hadn't seen before. Well, Jody provided that for me. As I looked at what she was doing, instead of feeling jealous as a therapist, what if I were to open my heart and mind to how can I do that and be humble enough to learn from those who have reasons to know? Having a qualification, a degree, a license does not mean that you've got a corner on how to help people. And I had to overcome some of that pride in my own heart and mind in order to get to a place where now I can have that bigger impact. Now I can charge those higher fees. I don't have to worry about the licensing or the regulation. Now, having said that, I want to add here that not all life coaches, and not all therapists for that matter, are created equal. Your credential has nothing to do with your qualification. I think the biggest qualification that either a therapist or a life coach needs to have is a desire, a true, sincere desire to help people, to elevate the lives and the experiences of our fellow human beings here on the planet. I think that's what calls you. And then when you feel called, you qualify by gaining the skill sets, understanding the ethics of working with people, getting people in your corner who can coach and mentor you is what will qualify you. I have learned more that way than I ever did through my years going through a PhD program, for example. And I'm not saying I didn't learn anything in my PhD program. I'm saying it's not been as powerful as actually working with real people and being humble enough to open myself to see that the models are broken and some of them are useful. Did this help you? If you are interested in learning more about how you might follow that same journey, maybe you're a therapist thinking, I hate life coaches. And maybe some of that's jealousy. Maybe you're a life coach or a therapist who's thinking, how do I set myself apart from others who are filling up the industry and so that I can have a really big impact, make more money? If that resonates with you, please go to liveonpurposeradio.com. That's the name of this podcast, liveonpurposeradio.com/practitioner. I am providing a certification and support to become a certified positivity practitioner, and that's where you can learn about it. Go to liveonpurposeradio.com/practitioner. I would love to interact with you on that level and help you have that impact that you know that you can have. I hope to see you there. It's time, everyone. Let's go live on purpose. Did you get what you came for? Give yourself the gift of taking real action on what you realized today. Please share this episode with someone you know would value it. And leave us a rating, too. It's time now to live on purpose.